Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, it is Jack Fritz at 6 on this Friday night, St. Patrick's Day. Got all the tournament games on here. Make sure you get down to Chickies and Pete's and enjoy some good tournament action. It's already been a very a fruitful day for your boy. I mean, we hit a parlay. We've hit some money lines. It's just, you know, things are going well. And, you know, that's what we do tournament time. It's simply what we do. Hope you're having a great start to your Friday. And I hope you can join us at 215-592-9494. We'll talk some Eagles. We'll mix in some Sixers. But with it being less than 2 weeks away from opening day, and this being a Friday night edition of Fritz at 6, I felt like it was about time to truly start talking some Phillies. You know, there's been a lot of buzz this offseason. The big difference is that, you know, they signed Trey Turner so early that there wasn't this big, long, drawn-out offseason where, oh, is he going to pick us? Is he not going to pick us? Where is he going to go? It kind of seemed like Trey Turner was always going to be a fill. They add Trey Turner. They bring in Taiwan Walker. They make necessary additions to this team and have put them in a position to get back to the World Series. And I want to talk about the expectations surrounding this team, because we talk about the Eagles and the expectation, for, in my belief, is Super Bowl or bust. That is my mindset heading into the year. I want this to feel like 2000 to 2005 again, where we are entering in every year saying, if they don't win the Super Bowl, I'm going to be crushed. And yes, I know they just won in 17, so there's not that dying feeling to get back to the Super Bowl and win it. It hadn't been 30-some years like it had been in 04. It hadn't been 52 years when they won it in 17. It's only been 6. So that natural aggression to go out and bring home the Lombardi Trophy, understandably so, isn't there. But when Howie goes out this week and he brings back Darius Slay, brings back Fletcher Cox, brings back James Bradbury, brings back Brandon Graham, Jason Kelsey's back, you know, he brings a core back that was just minutes away, one drive away, one stop away from winning a Super Bowl. I don't understand how the expectation is not, we need to go back and get the job done, and I'm dying to get there, to get back and get the job done. Because I don't sense that from this fan base. What I sense is, this is what we do. We're just going to be there all the time. This is what being an Eagles fan is now. Is that we just win. But with the Phillies, last year was so intoxicating. That playoff run, that feeling of Citizens Bank Park, and the electricity that was ringing throughout, that talk about the pulse of the city. It took us damn near 8-9 weeks to get fully back into the Eagle season. I mean, that's how magical that Phillies run was last year. Is that it zapped us of a lot of our pent-up energy and our pent-up excitement about an undefeated Eagles team. The Eagles went from oh, every week, you know, we're going to win, to like, eh, wake me up when we get to the Super Bowl. The Phillies did that. And what they did this offseason, and going and adding a Trey Turner, and going and adding a Taiwan Walker, and making the trade for Gregory Soto, and bringing in Craig Kimbrell, and having this team that we fell in love with last year go out and get better, the expectation should be just as high for them. The expectation should be back to the Super, back to the World Series, and this time bring it home. And that's where I'm at. But it's one of, it's another one of those things, much like the Eagles, where it's like, I think people are just excited to love baseball again. But I'm here tonight to tell you, they're good enough to make the playoffs again. They're good enough to compete for the division. And anything short than a trip to the World Series will be disappointing for me. 215-592-9494. It's okay to expect the Phillies to go back to the World Series. It's okay to have this belief that they can do it in back-to-back years. There are good teams in the NL. This is not the NFC East. The NFC and the NFC East are both bad. Like, the Cowboys can compete for a division. They won a lot of games last year. But ultimately, there's that feeling in the back of your head as a Cowboys fan where you're like, they're going to let me down. The Giants, I think, take a step back this year. Commanders, wake me up if you get Lamar Jackson. And then you look around, Niners have Brock Purdy. Seahawks bring back Geno Smith. The Rams seem like they're heading towards a bit of a rebuild. Cardinals, they have Jonathan Gannon as their head coach. And the NFC North just lost Aaron Rodgers. So it's the Lions and Vikings. The Eagles don't have nearly the level of competition the Phillies have. But that doesn't mean that our expectation needs to be lowered for the Phillies. If anything, the Phillies are in the process of building a super team. The Phillies are in the process of, I believe, having the best team in Philadelphia. I know the Eagles exist. I know Jalen Hurts exists. But the beauty of baseball is that there's no salary cap. And unfortunately for the Eagles, when they pay Jalen that $50-plus million contract that we all know is coming, it is harder to build the team around him. And he is going to have to be greater than the sum of his parts. He's going to have to raise his level of game. The Phillies, they can kind of keep adding to this thing. You know, Zach Wheeler has another year left on his contract. Aaron Nola, free agent after the year, they're going to find a way to extend him. Reese, they're probably not going to be able to pay him, by the way. Happy 30th birthday, Reese Hoskins, who I can't believe is already 30. Now, he came up a little bit older, but like 2017, he was like, oh, there's our saving grace. So, you know, you look at the Phillies, Reese is probably gone. But other than that, no one on the offense is a free agent until after the 2025 season. So this core is intact. They'll re-sign Nola. They'll have Wheeler. Andrew Painter's coming along. Hopefully he's healthy. Taiwan Walker is under contract. That's four of your guys. Plus, you have Nick Abel. You have Ranger Suarez. You have Griff McGarry. There's waves of pitching coming. And you look at the bullpen, and for the first time since 2008, you can mix in the 2015 Phillies there, 2014 Phillies, if you wanted to. I won't do that. But 2008 was the last time I think we had a bullpen on paper as good as this Phillies bullpen is going to be this year. So when I talk about the expectations for each team and we talk about raising our expectations, I want this city frothing at the mouth for this team to be back in the World Series, because that's how good they can be and that's how good they proved to be last year. 215-592-9494. When we talk about how good this Phillies team is, a lot of it has to do with the offense. And I just don't understand. You know, I have made this comparison a lot. I swung and I've missed. But this Phillies lineup on paper is better than the 08 lineup. And the 08 lineup was an absolute machine. But you tell me where the hole is when Bryce Harper gets back. Turner, Schwarber, JT, Bryce, Reese, Bohm, Stott, Castellanos, Marsh. That's not even factoring in what is hopefully a Castellanos bounce back year. That's not factoring in Brandon Marsh at age 25, continuing to work with Kevin Long and getting a better version of himself. Bryson Stott in year two, after he went from last year playing the Arizona Fall League straight into spring training, straight into a full season, getting sent back down, getting brought back up, comes back and has a pretty good rookie year, plays up until Game 6 of the World Series. That's a long year. Stott looks sick. He's getting more comfortable. He homered yesterday in the game. Alec Bohm, I think, is on the verge of having a monster breakout year. If you want to talk about one Philly that I believe in the most, I'm buying the Alec Bohm breakout year. I think his swing looks great. I think he's learning how to lift the ball. I think he's learning how to drive the ball to the ballpark. Rhys Hoskins, we kind of know what he is at this point. It's the same thing as Burrell in 08. Burrell gives you a 245, 30-plus homers, and they probably let him walk at the end of the year. When Bryce gets back, we know what Bryce does. I mean, he's probably going to take 2 weeks to get acclimated, and then we'll go from there. JT, I think, at the end of last year, you know, I was worried about JT. He's an older cat. He's a 30-plus-year-old catcher. We know that they start declining. But I thought his bat right after the Toronto series, you know, he was the MVP of the team while Bryce was injured. And him being able to carry the Phillies on his back, now getting them to the World Series, now playing in the Baseball Classic, JT starting to get the national recognition. Man, he looks comfortable. Kyle Schwarber in year two here. Year one, he's like the new guy. He's being brought in to almost bring a locker room together. He does that in year one. His job's kind of done. Now he's just vibes guy. Kyle Schwarber had 46 home runs last year. Now he has JT behind him. He has Bryce behind him. He has Bohm. Like, all this behind him with Turner on first base, extending that lead out a little bit. Turner could have 70-plus stolen bases. What happens when there's a runner on first base and a power hitter up there? They're going to start feeding you fastballs. Kyle Schwarber has a monster year. So, you know, I am one of those people with the Phillies that I'm very protective. And I'm very, I don't want them to let the city down because I don't want the city to be mad at me in a way. But I keep looking up and down the lineup. I look at the pitching staff. You have two aces. You have Ranger, who I think is just developing and only getting better. You have Taijuan Walker, who looked unbelievable in the World Baseball Classic. His fastball is up a tick. And then you have a number five spot, but we hope that Andrew Painter comes back and is fine. But he's almost a cherry on top at this point. The bullpen is the best that it's been in a while. You have legitimate options in the top seven here of Sir Anthony Dominguez, Jose Alvarado, Craig Kimbrell, Gregory Soto, Matt Strom, Connor Brogdon, Junior Marte. Like, that's a strong seven, and there's others in the wings. That's not even talking about Griff McGarry. So I keep looking at the roster. I keep looking at everything involved with this team, and my expectation is to get back to the World Series. That's what the standard is now. That's what we saw last year, and that feeling was intoxicating. 215-592-9494. What is your expectation for this Phillies team? Is it okay to believe that they're going to go back to the World Series, or are you still a little bit guarded about that? I know it's a Friday. I know it's St. Patrick's Day. Maybe the Ike juice has been flowing. But when I look at the Eagles, I look at the Phillies, they both have the exact same expectations. I have no interest in developing into Loserville. I have no interest in developing into the city that gets just close enough but can't get over the top. I want to be a city of champions. I want to be a city of winners. And I think the Eagles and I think the Phillies have a shot. The Sixers, I know they got to prove it. We know they got to do the thing in the playoffs, get past second round, get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and we'll go from there. But with these two teams specifically, they were just in their respective championship rounds. And we talked about the Eagles with Marks and Reese. It's now Fritz at six. It's time to work the Phillies into the mix. 215-592-9494. What is your expectation for this Philly season? I'm all in. I'm always ready to get my heart broken with this team. But I think it comes with justified expectations. I don't think I'm speaking out of my rear end. I think I'm speaking the truth. And I know people are afraid. I get it. But this team earned our trust in the playoffs last year, and they got better this offseason. Where do you stand on that? 215-592-9494. Let's kick it off with Jamal in West Philly. What's happening, Jamal?
Yo, what's going on, man? I just had a quick point about the Phillies real quick. It is World Series of bust because, just like you say, to piggyback off your point, look at the lineup for hitting. It's magical. And then on top of that, you know, with us missing Harper for, you know, however long he's out, we still got Schwarber, bro. Like, let's not forget everything he's done this past season. Like, going into this next season, like you say, year two, he's more comfortable. He's a, you know, leadoff guy in the locker room and everything like that. But Bro, to his point, like, Schwarber is, I really feel like Schwarber is going to carry us plus everything else that we added. And our weakest point last year in the World Series was pitching. And look at all the moves we just pulled. Like, maybe I'm looking at it with, you know, the red Phillies glasses, but at the same time, like, I really don't see a weakness. And real quick before you let me go,
yep.
The whole Howard thing about Andrew Painter adding another pitch to his arsenal, I don't see how that's a bad thing because at his young age, him developing even more tricks to his bag, let me know where I'm wrong. Call me out. You know, just to show accountability. But for real, I don't see any holes.
Well, and with Andrew Painter specifically, you know, they talk about, and Howard talks about how adding another pitch could have contributed to him being hurt. And I would agree if it was like a splitter. But coming from experience, like a cutter doesn't add like a ton of strain to your elbow. You know, I think it's just one of those things. Like, I'd heard that, you know, he's basically been pitching nonstop since January. So maybe this is a bit of a wear and tear thing. But also at the same time, I don't think it's some massive step back or massive setback in what we could see from Andrew Painter this year. And frankly, I think it could be a blessing in disguise. You know, he wouldn't have to start the season in the major league, on the major league roster, on the opening day roster. It's unfortunate, the business of baseball, but there is a little bit of the service time manipulation. Now they don't have to worry about it. They gain an extra year of his free agency when if he's on the team by May 21st, I think. It might even be earlier, frankly. But you look at Andrew Painter, now he gets to come back or come out in June or early July. They don't have to rush him up here, and he can ease into this thing right in the middle of the summer when some of your other starters might be getting tired. You know what they did last year. Now, Wheeler, I think, was hurt, but he essentially took a month off. Ranger took 2 weeks off from the All-Star break to kind of get rested up. Aaron Nola didn't take time off, but they skipped his starts here and there. And if it gets into the middle of the season and you are, you want to limit Nola's innings, you want to limit Wheeler's innings, you want to limit Ranger's innings, they could go six-man rotation and give those guys breathers and spread them out so that when they make the postseason, when they get in there, they're not getting tired at the end of the NLCS and they're not wearing down by the World Series. They're getting you through November, not to November. 215-592-9494. And the final thing that is making me feel good about this Phillies team and is making me feel confident about where they're at is just being down there, just reading stuff about them, hearing the quotes. There's just a really good winner vibe around this team, whether it's Bryce being the leader, I would say on the field leader, Kyle Schwarber as the emotional leader. JT, I think, has just gotten comfortable in the Utley role of like, let me show you how to get this done. They look like they like each other a lot, which I don't think was the case a couple years ago. They like each other a lot. They get along. But there's also this push and want to get back there and get those final two wins. All down there, all we heard from every single player was, man, that was a lot of fun. Man, that was intoxicating. We want to go back. We want to see Citizens Bank Park. It was the most fun baseball I've ever had in my life. But also, we got two more wins. And they have two more wins to get the job done. And I watched them in the spring training games. I watched JT, Schwarber, Turner in the World Baseball Classic. And it all gives me the same vibe of they got to the postseason. They got the pressure off their shoulders, the mounting, like, collapse feel that we had last year around the Cubs series the middle of September was like, are they really going to blow this again? They got in. And when they got in and that pressure was off, they played with a fearlessness. They played at a level that we knew they had in them, and that's why it was frustrating, but one that we hadn't seen yet. And I think that has translated over to this year's team. And the addition of Trey Turner, I think, has almost eased a lot of the tension of these guys going back. He is so fun to watch. He is, like, Bryce is the heart and soul of the Phillies. His offensive impact is insane. But, man, the way that Trey Turner can affect the game in multiple ways, he's going to be unbelievable here. Plus, you factor in he has Schwarber behind him. He has eventually Bryce Harper behind him. He has JT, Boehm, Reese. We'll see what happens with Castellanos. There is no hole in this Phillies lineup. Brandon Marsh at the bottom of it. He has Trey freaking Turner hitting behind him. They are a wagon. The Phillies are a wagon. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. It's Jack Fritz at 6 here, live from Chickies and Pizza, South Philadelphia. It's been a lot of Eagles talk all throughout the day. Been a lot of Sixers talk all throughout the day. But it wouldn't be a Fritz at 6 if I didn't want to mix in some Phillies. And I want to know, you know, last year was magical. It reminded us of how great playoff baseball can be. And I want to know your expectations heading into this year. Is it just get back to the playoffs and I'll be happy? Or are you with me? Like, get to the World Series and this time bring it home. And anything less would be a disappointment. 215-592-9494. We'll get to all your calls on that. Also, coming up around 6:40, what we do every night on Fritz at 6 is a take two. And we'll get some my second thought of the night leading into also some Sixers basketball. Get us some thoughts on that and everything coming up next in addition to all your phone calls. Welcome back. It's Jack Fritz at 6 live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Still packed in here on this St. Patrick's Day as people are watching the tournament. One of the better sports weekends of the year. It's a great sports weekend. I know my bracket is just absolutely torched. Thank you, Arizona. That's usually what happens when you try to trust Arizona in the tournament is that they traditionally let you down. So just another year with the Arizona Wildcats, but it doesn't matter. Like seeing an upset in the tournament makes it all. It's a fun watch, and it's unlike any sport where, and generally, at least in pro sports and definitely in college football, it's like the overwhelming talent wins and the overwhelming team wins. In college basketball, like you could have a 16 seed beat to one. It's truly any given day with college basketball, and frankly, you know, I don't watch much college basketball during the season, but like the NCAA tournament makes up for not watching it during the regular season. You know, I know there's some diehards that'll watch the tournament or watch college basketball all year long, and then tournament time, like they might know the bracket better, but like the NCAA tournament is so great that it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter that no one watches regular season college basketball because we do know that when March rolls around, that we're gonna generally get a great product. Now, it's gone down from the terms of, like, I know who the players are. You know, I could probably name a dozen or so players in the tournament this year, whereas, you know, the last couple of years I would be all over it. You know, the first thing I wanted to do when I was in college was actually cover college basketball, but ultimately ended up going and doing more Philly sports and Phillies and whatnot. So, but it is a great weekend. So we opened the show talking about the Phillies, and we're less than 2 weeks away from opening day. Good news from Rob Thompson that Ranger Suarez, while he won't be built up completely, he will be in the rotation in the start of the season, which I think is massive, because when the first thing you hear with forearm tightness is like, well, that's the precursor to Tommy John. That's not the case with Ranger, and it seems like, you know, he's not going to miss a start his first time out, and he can start the season in the rotation. So that's good news. Bryce Harper, another thing with Rob Thompson today or yesterday, he was doing soft toss, which is a step up from being in the being off the tee. So you would think that the next step in Bryce Harper's progression coming back from the Tommy John is, you know, start taking some batting practice. And the fact that he's already doing soft toss in March, that means he has April, May to really ramp this thing up. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that he's here at the end of March, which is what people are telling John Heyman. And, man, when Bryce Harper makes his debut this year, hopefully the Phillies are good coming out and it's not like, oh, the savior returns, which I don't think it will. But I remember when he showed up last year. You know, they went 32-20 without him, and when he came back, it felt like, bang, now it's time to go on a run. And this year, with Trey Turner in there and the raised level of expectations and the feeling of, hey, we got a possible World Series team here. The night Bryce Harper returns to Citizens Bank Park is going to be a party. And one of the most exciting parts about this year for me is that Citizens Bank Park's not going to be a morgue. It's not going to be depressing to be around. You know, the last couple years, the Phillies would be in it, and they'd be in first place, or they'd be fighting for a playoff spot down the stretch, and like 25,000 people would be at the ballpark. And what was told to the players over and over again was like, just get in and the people will show up. And when they got in, the people showed up. So I'm excited for this year for Citizens Bank Park to get back to being the place where people hang out in the summer. And that's what it was for a long time. And I hope as the season goes along, and I hope as people get, you know, they get off school, kids get down there, people get more, you know, revved up in August, September, October, that they get to where I am. Because where I am is World Series or bust. Getting back there is a must for this team. Anything less, I would view as a disappointment. I got a taste of it last year, and now I need that feeling again. Where do you stand on the Phils? Are you at that level of expectation, or do you look at it as the NL is really good? It's hard to get back. We don't need to have that level of expectation. And my counter to that is, what happened to this city? What happened to us? Well, now we're just like, wow, that's fun. Sports are fun. There used to be expectations. There used to be disappointment. There used to be a crushing feeling if our team let us down. And I haven't felt that with the Eagles, and I haven't felt that with the Phillies. Now, I felt it after the Eagles lost the Super Bowl, but I haven't had that feeling of, we got to get back there. We have to right a wrong. We have to make up for the 10-point loss, the blown lead, that. And when I look at the Eagles and I see they bring back Slay, bring back Bradbury, bring back BG, Kelsey, Fletcher, and that core, they got to get back there. And when I see the Phillies go out and they add Trey Turner and they add Taijuan Walker and Gregory Soto and Craig Kimbrell and bullpen pieces and young players are coming up, it's the same thing. They got to get back. 215-592-9494. My guy, Davon in Newark. What's happening, Day?
Jack, what's going on, my guy? Appreciate you taking my call, man. Good to be on at Fricks at 6.
That's right. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, I'm with you 100%, man. Listen, it's World Series or bust, and you can accredit that to Dombrowski as well, because you add championship DNA. Like, we're not asking random, you know, AAA guys that have just come up to, you know, take us on a World Series run. We're asking guys who have championship DNA to lock in with other players who have championship DNA and get this thing done. And I don't see a problem with that at all. And the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to, because I feel like, you know, in the last couple of years, we've always had the bats. When Trey Turner in this infield, my goodness, this defense, I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see how many games that we would have lost last year that we win this year, just because the confidence in the guys were playing with a world talent, you know, at the shortstop position. So I can't wait to see it, man. I'm looking forward to the season. Like, well, you said, man, it's World Series or bust.
One day, what makes it different is, you know, last year they headed into the season, and you kind of had that feeling of, defense is whatever. Like, off season us was like, I'm not worried about April and May's problem with the Phillies defense, because we were all, you know, cooped up and fired up about Castellanos and Schwarber.
Exactly.
But in the back of my head, it was like, wow, that is a pretty bad defensive unit. But what Dombrowski quickly learned as the season was going on was just how important those positions were. You know, Stop started playing shortstop. He was pretty good there. Segura is a great second baseman. He traded for Brandon Marsh. And having Brandon Marsh just patrol center field and be able to run down balls and just kind of solidifying that spot, it changed everything for this team. It was one of those, like, oh my god, they gave Logan Ohapi for a prospect that hasn't lived up to the hype. Like, what are they doing? And then you saw him play defense. You saw him coming around at the plate, and it's like, man, they might have gotten a steal here in Brandon Marsh.
at 25 years old, like you said, you can't mistake that. And with Kevin Long, you know, teaching him the hitting, it's like, that's why I said the championship DNA is just being built. And we're going on that run. Like you said, it's time. It's been 11 years since we went on that run. It's okay to have confidence to say this team can do it. I'm with you 100%, man.
Yeah, Dan, and I appreciate the call. Like, I know there's this, and I don't know when this developed with the Philadelphia fan base, but it never feels like there's this dying need to get a win and to get a championship, and not like holding a team accountable is one thing. Like, I think Flyers fans did a really good job with that, and you finally saw some action. But when you talk about getting to a World Series, and you go out and you add pieces to what was a World Series caliber core, I mean, I think we have a bit of revisionist history when it comes back to what happened in that World Series. The Phillies were up 2-1, and they were up 2-1. They got no hit at home, and they had a Game 5, which was a swing game in that series, and they blew it. I mean, they blew Game 5, whether it was Hoskins striking out early, the Hoskins defense late, the Brandon Marsh strikeout, Trey Mancini just being in the right place at the right time when the Kyle Schwarber smoked ball down the first base line. The obviously the Chaz McCormick catch, like there were so many missed opportunities in that Game 5. Like, the Phillies realistically could have been up 3-2 heading into that series going back to Houston against a team that hadn't lost a game. The Astros hadn't lost a game in the postseason before the World Series, and the Phillies had them on the brink. And I know they had 87 wins. I know they were disappointing for a majority of that year. But when you break through and you get through and you add one of the 15 best players in baseball, and definitely a top 10 position player in baseball, the expectation needs to be higher. And I just don't sense that. And that's frustrating for me because I want there to be that yearning, that belief in this Phillies team to get back to where they were last year, which is in the World Series. 215-592-9494. It's Fritz at 6, talking Phillies to open the show. I want to know where you're at expectations-wise for this team. I think people are excited. I think people can't wait to get down to the ballpark. I think people can't wait to see Trey Turner. I think we're anxious about Bryce's return. But it feels like last year was so much fun. Oh, my gosh, that was wild. And not the correct feeling, which is it's time to go back. And I really, I promise you, I try to take off my red-colored glasses because if anyone listens to me knows how much I love the Phillies. They're one of my favorite things on planet Earth. And I've tried to protect myself. I've tried to protect myself from getting my hopes too high for this team. But I keep looking at the roster. I keep looking at the pitching staff. I keep hearing about the vibes and how special last year's clubhouse was, and it just has me feeling they're going to go back. The Phillies are going to go back to the World Series, and it's okay to believe in that. Let's get to Trust the Pregame, delivered by PGW. PGW delivering safe, reliable energy to Philadelphia for more than 180 years. PGW energy for all of us. Visit pgworks.com. For details, and this is the take two portion of the Fritz at 6 program here at Sports Radio 94 WIP. And tonight we have a little bit of Sixers Charlotte Hornets action down in Charlotte, which, you know, I anticipate the Sixers coming out a little bit slow. I anticipate them being not overly excited to play in this game. I'm sure they're like, yeah, whatever, we'll go down there, we'll do our thing, and hopefully return with a win, but it's not going to be one of those. Like, they've been on a brutal stretch since the All-Star break. I mean, they have the toughest schedule in basketball, which you have to factor in. They've played, you know, Boston. They've played the Cavs last week. They've played just some of the top tier teams in the Eastern Conference, and they've gotten a bit of a roll here. The Hornets are a letdown spot for this team. But with the way that they're playing right now, there is no letdown spot. And the way the Hornets are playing right now is certainly not one as well. What to Watch For is sponsored by Xfinity Mobile. Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge, a different kind of mobile network designed to save you money. And what to watch for me tonight is the continued dominance of one Joel Embiid, who we talked about this a couple weeks ago about, or maybe Monday on the show, about how 2 weeks ago the MVP race seemed like it was over. You know, the MVP was going back to Jokic, and he was going to be a three-time MVP, three straight MVPs, joining the likes of Wilt, Bill Russell, and Larry Bird. One of those things is not like the other, and that is Nikola Jokic being mentioned in that class. And for the first time, you know, I have been of the mindset of, listen, stop worrying about the MVP. If it happens, it happens. But you have to have higher goals than just getting the MVP, and that's it. And that's what was frustrating last year and the last couple years, is that it just felt like the MVP was the thing that mattered the most to Joel Embiid, and he was going to stop at nothing to bring that home. And if it meant costing the Sixers a championship, it didn't matter to him. But what I've heard this year and what I've seen from Joel Embiid in the last couple weeks is a guy that's more locked in. He's a guy that is ready to, I think, take his game to another level. And is a guy that is heading into the postseason at the right time. And frankly, I had lost some trust in Embiid. Like, I was well aware of how dominant he was. I loved watching him play basketball. But when it comes down to, can I win with this guy? Is he a winner? I didn't get that vibe from him. It was like, it felt like he was forcing shots too much late in games. He wasn't doing the necessary things to win games and come out victorious. I was seeing, like, Jason Tatum hit a big shot against him. I was seeing these players hit big shots after big shots. In the last 2 weeks, and really since the beginning of March, this has been Joel Embiid's game log. 35, 31, 42, 39, 39, 34, 36. And I sit here on the St. Patrick's Day, and for the first time in the Joel Embiid era, with this whole MVP thing and the used-to-be campaigning for it, I would be personally offended if he doesn't win the MVP. It is time to knock off the nonsense when it comes to Joel Embiid and getting that trophy that he now deserves. He deserves to be the MVP. And I think it's okay to truly buy in to what Joel Embiid is selling. I am very high on the Sixers for the first time since maybe they made the playoffs for the first time. We saw Ben Simmons, like, dominate the Heat. You know, that was like, okay, we have our two stars. They have postseason experience, and it's go time. But the Ben thing fizzled out. The Butler thing fizzled out. They got swept out of the bubble. And I just kind of had this dreading feeling that I'm never going to see Joel Embiid win a title. And I remember I said on WIP last year that Joel Embiid winning a title for this city would mean a lot to me. It would mean a lot more than a lot of athletes winning a championship here, because he's been through the mud. He broke his foot twice here. He is the process. He's the last remaining, like, real piece of the process. And Joel Embiid, for the first time, looks like one of the five best players in basketball. He's had spurts. He's had moments. He's been in all-star games. But when you talk about dominance, and you talk about winning, and you talk about being the best player in a championship team, Joel Embiid is there. Now it's on his co-stars to help him out. James Harden, we talked about this with Ike. I'm beginning to really love James Harden's game. I know there's this whole factor of, like, well, wake me up when he gets done in the postseason. And believe me, I totally get that, because it's still there. And it's something that we've seen him come up short in the postseason for damn near his entire career. I mean, I'll never forget, would they shoot like 3 of 23 in a game 7 from 3? Like, James Harden's whole story has been coming up short. His whole story has been, he's going to win MVPs. He's going to do his thing in the regular season. But is he really a winner? And now you have Joel Embiid. You have him. Their two-man game is awesome. I've never seen Joel Embiid score as easily as he is scoring right now. And I think a lot of that has to do with the play and with the pick-and-roll dominance of James Harden. So you have those two. You have the Batman and James in Joel Embiid, who is ascending to a level that we hadn't seen yet. You have James Harden, who is his Robin, that, you know, is changing his style of play right in front of our eyes. And it's okay to believe in James Harden again, because he is basically just facilitating. He is getting the ball to Embiid in good spots. He is shooting a damn near 40% from three, which he's never done in his career. His shot, you know, he's not taking as many shots per game, so he's being efficient. He knows he's not who he was in Houston, and we're seeing him change in front of our eyes, and we're seeing a better player for it. We're seeing an efficient player. We're seeing a winning player. And then you have Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey is back to what we had seen for a lot of last year. Doc sent him to the bench. It didn't work out. I understand the logic. You send him down there. You let him cook on the second team, and he can just go and kind of carry a second unit, so to say. But now he's back in the starting lineup, and it's working out really well, because you have, in playoff basketball, we know how it happens. You have, it's hard. The defense ratchets up. It's harder to play pick and roll. It's harder to score in the pick and roll. It's harder to get the ball to the center, and it's on Tyrese Maxey. If James Harden can't get past people, it's on Tyrese Maxey to take his game to another level. 215-592-9494. It's Fritz at 6. That is Take 2, a part of the Trust the Pregame feature here on the program. As we get ready for another Sixers game tonight, that should be another win. I'm sure they're going to have a hard time getting energized for it, because it is Charlotte. They are really bad. They have just been playing brutal basketball. So brutal enough to where Michael Jordan actually wants to sell the team. So they've lost their last three. They're kind of playing out the stretch run here. They got a dozen or so games left. One of those games where if you're Joel Embiid, you see Giannis lose to the Pacers last night. You see Jokic losing some of these games recently, Nets over the weekend. He's lost games that he should win. This is where Joel Embiid steps on the throat, and he continues to prove that he is the MVP of basketball. And it's so nice heading into these Sixers games and heading down the stretch run here where you don't feel totally hopeless. Because that's how I felt for a lot of the majority of the season, was I had this hopeless feeling that what's the point in being invested? What's the point of caring again? It's okay to care again about the Sixers. 215-592-9494. Closing out Fritz at 6 here and the Trusted Pregame Show. With the starting lineups for the night, the Hornets will start Terry Rozier, Kelly Oubre, Gordon Hayward, P.J. Washington, and some guy named Richards at center, while the Sixers go Harden, Maxey, Harris, Tucker, and Joel Embiid. That is your starting five for the Sixers. And speaking of the Sixers, I'll tell you what. I'm very high on their chances this year. I'm very high on what they can do in the postseason. I'm high on Maxey, high on Harden, very high on Joel Embiid. The one guy that I just cannot ever wrap my head around and can ever totally buy in to what they're selling is Tobias Harris. I mean, holy cow, what a horrible, horrible max player. If they replaced him with almost anyone else, I'd be booking finals tickets. I really would. He is that atrocious of a basketball. Like, it's, first off, touch around the rim is just insanely bad. Never hits a big shot when you need him. Every time there's a momentum three to possibly give the Sixers a lead or you know, put the game out of reach and they swing it to Toby, I'm prone to make wagers. I'm betting my life savings that Toby's not making that shot. He never makes that shot. So Tobias Harris, I know he gets much maligned in this city because he's a max level player making, what, $40 million? It's a travesty what he brings to Sixers on a night in, night out basis. Not even like tough play. Like, there's no redeeming quality. It's just like, hey, hopefully some nights he can make a three. 215-592-9494. 94.94. It is Jack Fritz. It's Fritz at 6. Thanks for hanging out with me on this hour, extended hour of Marks and Reese, live from Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's is serving beer all night. They're definitely serving crab fries all night. They have their patty melt, which is delicious, and they will have the tournament games on all night long. Thanks to everyone that tuned in. Enjoy your great first weekend of March Madness. Hope your brackets aren't totally busted. Hope you have some big wagering winners. And we'll talk to you on Monday. Johnny will be back on Monday. Ike will be back on Monday. And Fritz and Six will be back on Monday. Enjoy the Sixers game. Enjoy the first weekend of March Madness. I'll talk to you soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.